This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Bob Janetsky is a former state representative and the current Allegan County clerk. He hopes to be a future state senator. Janetsky is one of three Republicans running for his party's nomination in the 26th State Senate District, which includes both Van Buren and Allegan counties, as well as part of Kent County. Bob Janetsky, thank you for being here.
It's great to be here, Gordon. Thanks very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you would like to do if you are elected to the state Senate.
Yeah, what I'd like to remind everybody is I'm definitely not a politician or even a public servant by trade. I started out as a high school teacher, taught at-risk students. I taught alternative high school for 9.5 years. So I taught the kids who have been to jail, kids who have kids who were pregnant, kids who had been kicked out of other places. Many of them come from families that have no more than a high school education, and in some cases even less. And during the lost decade, when Michigan struggled in so many ways economically, I saw how those students and their families were really affected first. They were the first ones to lose their jobs, to lose their homes, to get kicked out of their apartments, to be foreclosed on or evicted. And that really affected me to see how things like the Michigan business tax, while it affected everybody at all socioeconomic levels throughout Michigan, it really affected my students and their families first, and that's what motivated me to run for state house in 2008.
From a public policy standpoint, what else could the state be doing for those at-risk students? We've got a lot of studies which are showing that Michigan's lagging behind in a lot of ways in education, but if we were just going to focus in for a moment on at-risk students, what more could Michigan do for them?
Right now, Michigan focuses, and it's not just Michigan. This is top-down legislation regarding education. It's been a big problem going back to George Bush with No Child Left Behind, and then followed up with the Obama administration with the Race to the Top. We're doing so much testing and more testing and specialized standardized testing throughout our school districts that there's a lot more testing going on than there used to be as far as instruction, and that's taking classroom time away from contact minutes with our students, and it's affecting their skill set ability. So I would like to see us do less testing. I'd like to see us agree on, one set of what we're going to do and those ages that we're going to do that on, and not try and placate constantly both the federal government, the state government, and local requirements. I think we could have more uniformity as well as that. In addition, because of that testing, a lot of the alternative high schools, and the one that I closed at, Orion Alternative up in Granville, are closed because those students that don't necessarily fit the college-bound track weren't doing as well on the tests, and unfortunately, a lot of those buildings had to close because in the eyes of the state, otherwise they would have been failing schools. In addition, those students really do a good job of learning in a hands-on manner, and a lot of the discussion of skilled trades would really be beneficial for them if we could get them the opportunities to go to your regional skills centers and take advantage of that. The problem is, by the time they hit those opportunities, which is typically high school, they've already been told by multiple standardized tests that they're not going to be successful and they're not going to be college bound, which is what the whole Michigan merit curriculum is built around. And many of them drop out or are frustrated and just lag on until they can graduate and hopefully find something meaningful, unfortunately, outside of the public education system.
If we're not going to use standardized testing, is there a good way of determining how a school is doing well, or if we're going to have less standardized testing?
I was not suggesting at all that we throw out all standardized testing.
Sure, but there were a couple schools here in Kalamazoo that were deemed to be failing schools, mm-hmm. and ultimately it was decided they could stay open, although they had to make some changes.
Right.
Is there a better way than standardized testing, or is there a better standardized test that maybe wouldn't require as much classroom time that the state should look at as a way of determining whether or not a school is really serving those students well?
When we were kids, we took the Iowa Basic Skills Test, and it seemed back then to be a really good test. It seemed to be effective and reliable. Unfortunately now, and again, there's so much placating of national policy. The feds want you to do this, so we shift testing. The feds want you to do this, so now we're doing Common Core, which came down through the Race to the Top. There needs to be basically, whether it's NWEA, which is a good test, and there are a few others out there that I think will prove what we need. What we want to do is make sure our students are making progress. But overall, we're so married to the grade levels, and we saw that with a huge battle over the third grade reading bill. A lot of people at local districts were worried, well, If this student isn't rating at grade level by third grade and we can't promote him or her to fourth grade, you're just going to backlog everywhere. We might have a whole building full of third graders at that point. Well, the goal is to make sure kids can read, and we need to make sure that those different skill sets are achieved and are attained.
I'm sure that one of the issues you're hearing about from voters is roads. What can we do to make them more drivable, make them a little less hazardous throughout the state of Michigan?
Well, one, the state needs to be a lot less deceitful and arrogant. Remember, back in 2014, I was asked as a member of the House of Representatives to vote for what became Proposal 1 in 2015. I voted against it. And what that was going to do was increase gas tax and registration fee increases, but it wasn't going to put that money directly to roads for cities, townships, and villages, county roads, and state roads. It was going to pour that money through the generic transportation budget formula. So I voted against it because my constituents back home were telling me, one, look more into the state budget. We know there's more money in there. We know there's more money that could be spent on roads. Two, if you're going to increase my gas tax and registration fee, make sure that that goes, in fact, to shovels moving and asphalt and concrete that are actually building roads and repairing bridges, rather than your bike trails, your leasing of passenger rail cars that just sit in a train yard in Owosso, and rather than an awful lot more planning for roads and bridges that may never occur, like the Gordie Howe Bridge at this point. So I voted against that. It went on the ballot in 2015. Voters shot it down miserably, 80% to 20. And then in a very arrogant and deceitful manner, the legislature voted, with the governor backing them, voted to push that through, the exact same measure that that voters had shot down. We need gas tax and registration fee to bypass a lot of those other special pet projects and go directly to building roads and bridges and infrastructure across the state right now. So that's your number one start. There's also other areas in the budget, particularly now with the economy going so well and being so strong. Now is when we've got to enact serious welfare reform and channel the money that we save from that directly into roads. And one of the measures I do approve of and agree with that we passed a couple of years ago was getting more quality assurance from the contractors that do the road work.
So you mentioned the economy's going well. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan issued a report last year saying that there could be some tough decisions ahead for state lawmakers. You could perhaps be one of them if you win this state Senate race. They say that there's going to be pressures caused by promised tax credits, as well as money which is now being designated for roads in future years, and that the state could really face some challenges balancing the budget. Do you think, given everything you know right now, can the state fund all the essential obligations it has and not raise taxes?
I think it's essential that the state do fund all those things without raising taxes. I've taken the no new tax pledge. Every time I've run for office, I've taken the no new tax pledge, and that's important to me. We saw back in the last decade the dangers of raising taxes on an economy that at times can respond very drastically. People can vote with their feet. They can leave the state. They can bring their businesses and jobs to other places, and if the Michigan business tax and other tax increases of 2007, 2008 weren't evidence of that, I don't know what else is. I think we can definitely fund those obligations. As far as the tax credits, I was proud to vote against just about each and every one of them, even some that came back to my district when I was in the state house. There's about nine point some billion of those on the books right now, and I propose basically either phasing them out quicker than they were put in initially, or going to the companies that have those and saying, hey, you've got so many days to use those, so many years to use those, and otherwise they're just coming off our books. I think we need to, right now they're causing a big drain on the balance sheet. They were failed economic policy. They didn't, in many cases, result in the jobs or the new industries that were supposed to come here.
What reforms would you favor to reduce auto insurance rates?
Yeah, auto insurance rates and roads are the two biggest things that come up at the doors right now. And I favor definitely an audit of the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Authority. I think that's really important. And the fact that they're allowed to set rates for something that everybody statewide has to purchase, and yet we can't even audit what goes on within that fund is a big issue. And again, my stance on auto insurance goes back to the fact that I taught alternative high school. I taught kids who are at risk. They come from a background that they struggle to pay their bills, they and their families from the start. Every day that I pulled into that parking lot, I knew 50 to 60% of the vehicles in that parking lot were uninsured. And it's not that my former students wanted to drive illegally or wanted to get popped or wanted to flaunt the law. They simply can't afford it. And they're not the only ones in the state. We've created a system whereby there are the privileged who can afford to drive with auto insurance and be in compliance with the law. And there are those who unfortunately cannot and have to take their risks. And when they do, it costs them an awful lot of money. So with that in mind, I also agree with the bill that the House turned out within the past year or so that would offer tiered coverage levels, whereby people who are have considered much less spending have the opportunity to purchase less in coverage, but would be able to still have some form of bare bones auto insurance. Keep in mind that you or I, and we want to insure our families, if you've got young kids in your family, you want to make sure that they're protected in every way. So there would still be a Cadillac option in there. But we need to think more, again, from a socioeconomic perspective on this. One, it's a freedom issue. People should have the right to, if they have to be mandated, that they have to drive with auto insurance, they need to be able to purchase tiered coverage as far as what they want to buy, as far as different levels. And two, I was looking through an online magazine a couple of months ago, and it was, the topic was where you might want to retire, and it was the bottom 25 states where you don't want to retire. I look at everything through a Michigan perspective, and I started scrolling through, got down to the 20th lowest state where people shouldn't retire, according to this magazine article. The first reason they said people shouldn't retire in Michigan is because there's too much snow. Well, I love the snow, and there's not, I like to play
hockey. Can't do anything about that.
The second thing, auto insurance rates were the highest in the nation, the article said, at $1,300 a year per car. If that's going to be a detriment and chasing people into other places, we definitely need to adjust, and we need to make sure that people have the opportunity to purchase the coverage that they want and that they can afford.
What if someone goes, though, for that lower tier of coverage, and then they have one of these catastrophic accidents mm-hmm. where, you know, lifetime coverage is paid out? Are you just, at that point, more or less saying that eventually that person is probably going to end up on Medicaid because the coverage is going to run out pretty quick?
Or their own health insurance.
Of course, if they can't work right. because of a catastrophic injury, then Medicaid is probably where they're headed, right?
Then they're headed, in most cases, they're going to be headed to Medicaid if their own health insurance runs out or they can't work. That's a challenge. But if you look at the biggest problem with auto insurance right now and why people, what's driving the costs is that one of the first things people are asked if they end up in the emergency room, God forbid, is, you know, how did the injury occur? Because hospitals and healthcare providers know that they can set a rate above everything else.
You mentioned President Trump earlier. How much should Republicans align themselves with the president, especially when we get to the general election in November?
I'll tell you, this is the most, I've knocked a lot of doors in a lot of different election cycles. This is the most unique cycle I've ever seen. The first couple of things that come up at the doors that we've already mentioned, when you're knocking doors, people want the roads fixed and they want something done about auto insurance. The third thing that comes up at all the doors is, where do you stand on Donald Trump? Do you support him? What do you think of him? And voters want a split answer right there. They don't want to know that you're wavering or waffling, or that you think he, you know, might be a decent guy, but you're not sure. But this or that, this is a really unique cycle. And the doors that I've knocked on, I'd say 75% are very much in support. People recognize that his style is a lot more New York City than and we're a lot more Midwestern, but they certainly appreciate the results of the economy that his policies have created. And very interestingly, they remember that he is fulfilling his promises. I never thought in my lifetime that Jerusalem would be seen as the legitimate capital of Israel. I can't believe that George Bush didn't try or wasn't willing to or able to cut the corporate tax rates down from 36% to 20%, and I'd like to see them go lower, but you know, Donald Trump sure has. And people like and remember when people fulfill their promises.
Bob Janetsky is one of three Republicans running for his party's nomination in the 26th State Senate District. That includes Van Buren and Allegan counties, as well as part of Kent County. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.